Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
Glory to God. Why don't you find Psalm 51 today? And I'm going to start a series again. We just got done with one on the renewing of the mind, but I'm going to start one. This is part one on the joy of salvation. And what a joy it is to be saved. But before we do, I want to just give you a little bit more marriage recipes for a perfect marriage. How many want a perfect marriage? Amen. So we've just been sharing a few of these with you. We don't endorse these necessarily, but it's not necessarily scriptural. But Red Skelton, he had a recipe for the perfect marriage. And so we've shared some of them with you. One thing he said, he says that him and his wife also sleep in separate beds. Hers is in California. Mine is in Texas. I'll give you... You want another one? Maybe this will help you. He said, I take my wife everywhere, but she keeps finding her way back. Maybe this one here might help you. He said, we always hold hands. If I let go, she shops. Maybe I should stop. How many want another one? It says, she has an electric blender, electric toaster, electric bread maker. She said, there's too many gadgets and no place to sit down. He said, so I bought her an electric chair. Maybe I ought to give this one here. All right, here, this one here. He said, my wife told me the car wasn't running well because there was water in the carburetor. I asked her where the car was. She told me, in the lake. I'm going to give you this and then we're going to preach, all right? I'll give you the rest of these later. She got a mud pack, and looked great for 2 days. Then the mud fell off. All right. She finds Psalm 51. Let's go to verse 12. It says, David said, he said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Uphold me with your free spirit, or the New King James says, your generous spirit. You know, his spirit's so generous to us. But I wanted to we're just going to preach a series on this phrase, the joy of salvation, where he said, restore to me the joy of your salvation. Now, you know, this is, you know, the history behind this. This is after David had sinned, you know, greatly, and did some things that, you know, and the prophet came in and confronted him about it, and he repented, and this is his prayer of repentance, or talking to God here. And one of the things he says is, restore unto me the joy of your salvation. Now, I got to thinking about that phrase, and I thought about, you know, there's joy in being saved. I said, there's joy in being saved. After I got born again, you know, like in 1981, there were three things that I noticed immediately showed up in my life. Immediately I recognized them, that they were different. They were something new. I didn't have this before. There was love, there was joy, and there was peace. Now, you know, I didn't know what I know now then. I didn't know that that was the first three fruits of the Spirit listed in Galatians chapter 5. Mm-hmm. Love, joy, and peace. But when I got born again, I started loving people. Now, I never was, I didn't think, really a bad person, you know. I mean, in the sense that, you know, I wasn't a person that was vindictive or, you know, unforgiving or anything like that. But yet, God's love's totally different. Amen? It's to another level. Amen? And then I noticed, you know, I noticed peace, you know. But I think one of the first things that I noticed was joy. Hallelujah. Joy came on the inside of me. Well, you know, Jesus said, I'll give you my joy, praise God. I give it to you. Amen. And so I just want to talk to you about this, about how, you know, we ought to have joy. I said we ought to have joy. Now, listen now, you know, I understand that sometimes that things happen in life. But here's what David said. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. See, if we put our joy in anything else other than our salvation, we're headed for trouble. Because, you know, things in life don't always go right sometimes. And, you know, sometimes we look at people and we think, oh, man, I wish I had life like theirs. Well, one thing, you don't see everything. You don't understand. See, some people, Pastor and Miss Phyllis, they got a good life, you know. Well, we do have a good life. Amen. Well, they're blessed. Yeah, we're blessed. Well, they never have no problems. Yep, that's not true. We do our best not to cause our own problems. Amen. But we still have issues because we live in life. Jesus said, in this world you shall have tribulation. Most people don't put that one on their refrigerator. Now, also notice the one in Acts chapter 14, verse 22, says, through much tribulation we must enter into the kingdom of God. Most people don't put that on their refrigerator, all right? But now, I don't want you to think that it's a life of tribulation, trouble, and so forth. It's not. That's the way some of the old timers used to kind of make you think. It's like one trial after another. Well, usually if it's one trial after another, one problem after another, you're causing it. Right. Mm-hmm. Amen. So, because that's not the way life is. As a matter of fact, I don't know if we'll get to the scripture. Probably don't have time this morning. But I was going to read out of 1 Peter chapter 5. It talks about Peter talking to the Christians. And he said, if for a season you're in heaviness through many trials. And that word season, where he says that you're going through a season of trials, that word season, it means a little while. And it also means this, puny. Just a puny amount of time you're going. And that really, really, honestly, in the Greek, it means puny. So if just for a puny amount of time, you're going through trials. Well, gosh, it seems like an eternity to me, Pastor. Well, see, you look at it wrong, see. It compared to eternity, mm-hmm. Amen? It compared to what God has for it, it's just a puny short amount of time.
That's right.
Amen. Yeah. And honestly, in this Christian life, I've just learned this. I've learned there's always going to be trials, but I don't want to create any more.
Yeah.
Amen. By not living by the Word or feeding on the Word or knowing what the Word says. See, when I know what the Word says, I live by the Word, feed by the Word. I cut out a bunch of that stuff from happening. Amen. You know, the reason why people have marriage problems, you know, is because they don't obey the Word.
Come on now.
They listen to Red Skelton, she said. You do know those are just funny things. We don't mean to live by them, all right? Just disclaimer here. You know, always seek, you know, professional legal advice. Yeah, don't try this at home. But they're just funny, you know. But yeah, and don't go to Ralph and Alice Cramden for marriage counseling either, the honeymooners. All right. So. But how many know if we live by the Bible, how many know we're going to have a good marriage? Does that mean we'll never face challenges? Well, you're always going to face challenges, but not near as many. And you'll be able to overcome them. Amen. And so, David said, restore to me the joy of your salvation. See, if we put our joy in anything other than His salvation, then we're not going to have a life of joy. Hallelujah. And I don't know about you, I like living in joy. And we have to remind, does anybody remember how joyful you were after you got saved? The joy of the Lord came on you. Well, we should never forget, no matter what happens in life, we're saved.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Right.
See, if you, and it's not going to happen, but if you were to die of a disease and you were to die young, guess what? If you're a believer, you went to heaven.
Right. Amen.
Amen.
Right.
You know, it just got better for you.
Right.
So, anyway, and that's, you know, that's not going to happen to you, but I'm just saying, if it were to happen, we still win.
Yes, amen.
We still have, we're saved, praise God.
Right.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Right.
You know, when someone of our loved ones or family members, when they die and go to heaven, you know, they don't want to come back.
No, they don't.
Right?
No.
You know, and the only reason we're sad is because we're going to miss them.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's it. That's it. We're not sad for them. Amen. Sometimes we think, well, they died too young. Well, and that's true. But yet, when you think about it in light of eternity, with a day, with the Lord, a day is 1,000 years. 1,000 years is a day. So if they died at 40 instead of 90, you know, they died like what, a couple minutes too soon. You know, you do know when you get to heaven, 40 years is going to go by pretty fast. There's just no, it doesn't matter any longer. Amen?
Right.
Praise God. Are you with me now? Yeah. See, why do we count birthdays? Well, because we're counting, it's a countdown clock to where you get out of here. Mona's is stuck on 39. Has been for years. So, how many understand? You know, it doesn't mean anything in light of eternity, right? Because
right.
In eternity, we're going to live forever.
Right.
So what I'm saying to you is this. No matter what happens in this life, we're still saved. If you always remember that, I'm saved. I'm in right relationship with God. See, when you first got saved, you didn't know you had any of the blessings that you know about today. I didn't know divine healing was a promise in the Word. I didn't know about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I didn't know about all the blessings that the Bible promises. I didn't know about any of it. All I knew was I was saved, and I was full of joy. I didn't have to know about the other stuff. Thank God for the other stuff, but I didn't have to know about it to have joy.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
So, and that's what David's saying. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. The fact that I'm saved, I ought to have joy. Hallelujah. Amen. And so that's one of the things that I noticed after I gave my life to Jesus Christ was, man, whoo, I got joy. Hallelujah. Now, you know, I hadn't had joy. Not Bible joy. How many know there's a difference between happiness and joy?
Yes.
Happiness can depend on your circumstances. Joy is something that's independent of circumstances.
Amen.
So God visited us back in the, well, I don't know, it might have been late 80s or early 90s. Now, it wasn't new, but it was just like He was doing a new thing for some people. He visited us with the joy of the Lord.
Amen.
And we'd have the joy of the Lord break out in meetings and people just start laughing. No reason to laugh, they just laugh. I know some people thought, well, it's weird. Well, you know, most people, if it doesn't happen to them, they think it's weird and off. But when it happens to them, well, I guess it's okay. And there were people that would like that, you know. They thought, well, you know, we just don't believe in this. And then it hit them, and they think, well, I guess it's all right. It hit me.
Yeah.
You know, I'm the final judge here. I'm Holy Ghost Junior. And so, but have you know, God, there's plenty of scriptures in the Bible. The Bible says God sits in the heavens and laughs.
Yeah. Right.
Right? Amen. And so, people would just get hit with joy. Well, it didn't happen every service. I don't mean to say that, but there were times it would happen. People just needed an infusement of joy. I perceive the church needs its joy back right now.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. You know, and listen to me. Joy is not based on our circumstances. It's not based on God answering our prayer, although that brings joy. Joy is based on the fact we're saved.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Yeah.
God doesn't do another thing for us. We got something to shout about. Hallelujah. And so I want to talk about that in this series, and I want to look at some things, and we're just going to get our joy back if we need it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I don't know about you, but I still have my joy of my salvation. But here's what Jesus said. He said, your joy could be full.
Yeah.
What does that mean? Well, that means it could be less or it could be more. You know, maybe you've had some things happen in your life. Well, we're not making light of that, but we're just simply saying, don't let that rob you of your joy.
Yeah. Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
Now, we're in Psalm. Back up just a few Psalms. Back to Psalm 43. Psalm 43. Go there. Let's read this. Psalm 43. This is David again. Verse number 3, he said, he's talking to God. He said, oh, send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me unto your holy hill and unto your tabernacle. Some of his light and truth will bring you into the house.
Right.
Hallelujah. Then will I go unto the altar of God. Hallelujah. I mean, we ought to be at God's altar.
Yeah.
And unto God, notice this, my exceeding joy. Yea, upon the harp will I praise thee, O God, my God. Notice David said, God's is exceeding joy.
Right.
Now, he had a lot of things going for him. and a lot of things good going for him in his life, and a lot of bad things going on, you know. I mean, listen, David, the thing I like about David was the fact that he really depended on God, and he knew how much he needed God. Amen. You know, in the Psalms, David talking to God, he said, talking about himself being poor and needy. I'm poor and needy. Now listen to this. David talked about in Chronicles, when he was given to the house of God, Solomon was going to build the tabernacle. David was getting ready to die, you know, and his son was going to build a tabernacle. David gave an offering to the church. Amen. Are you listening now?
Yeah.
Everybody say offering.
Offering.
He gave an offering. If you bring it, and this is like from 1964 numbers. So this is, how much has that gone up since 64? I got these numbers from breaking down in 1964. You know, because it's exponentially grown since then. But if just by 1964 numbers, I have it written down in my Bible, here's what David gave as an offering to the church: $851,192,562. So he cut a check for over $851 million, and he said, "I'm poor and needy." I'm thinking, Lord, make me that poor and needy. But see, he realized, I need God. Money doesn't mean a thing.
Yeah, amen.
Money comes and money goes. But God's salvation remains.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Things come, things go. But the salvation of God remains.
Amen.
And if you don't get that, you're not going to have the joy of the Lord in your life. You say, why do I need the joy? It's your strength.
Right.
So David said, I'm going to God, my exceeding joy. He's my joy. Not anything else going on. And listen, he had plenty of natural things as he became king. He had plenty of natural, what we call natural pleasures. He could have anything he wanted. I mean, you know, if you can give an offering for $850 some million, you're pretty well off.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
But now listen now. Verse 5, look at this. He said, why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him. And the King James says, who is the health of my countenance and my God. You know, God, sometimes you got to talk to your soul.
Yeah.
You got to tell your soul, just cheer up.
Yeah.
Amen?
Right.
See, a lot of people go, well, I'm just waiting for this great move of God to cheer me up. Well, you'd be waiting a long time. Because sometimes you just got to speak to your soul and say, soul, just line up.
Amen.
Did you know joy is a choice?
Yes, it is.
It's a choice. It's a choice we choose. We're in control of our emotions. Did you know that?
Amen.
Amen. God didn't give your emotions to control you. He gave your emotions to enjoy life, but you're to control them.
Amen.
Amen. So David said, hey, soul, just straighten up here. Hope in God. I'm gonna praise him for the health, the King James says. Or some chances I say the help, but it literally means the salvation of my countenance. Hallelujah. Amen. There are some people who haven't smiled so long, it'd break their face if they tried. Say, what do you think God thinks when he looks down on us during praise and worship and we're just sitting there with a frown on our face after all he's done for us? You think that blesses him? No. You don't believe that? Go back and read the Old Testament and find out what he thought about Israel doing that. Amen. He loves us, but he doesn't understand why we're not rejoicing over being saved. Well, I still need my healing. Well, all right, but he's promised that, but you're still saved. What if you did die? You're still saved. God never let me do it. I said, Lord, just let me put people in hell for 15 minutes. Just do that. I'm sure it'll be a lot easier to work with them when they come back. If we get them back out. Hallelujah. What do you mean by that? Well, when you see what you've been delivered from, you'd shout. Hallelujah. Amen. See, thank God for his salvation. See, it doesn't hinge on anything else but on the fact that He saved us. You know, in Luke's gospel, when Jesus, you know, was born, the angels came and they announced to the shepherds and said, "I bring you good tidings of great joy, for a Savior is born unto you, Christ the Lord." Hallelujah. And so the joy is in the fact we got a Savior, Christ the Lord. There in Luke, and when there's a story about Mary, you know, Jesus's mother, when she went to Elizabeth, her cousin, and Mary just shows up with Jesus in her womb, and John the Baptist is in Elizabeth's womb, and the Bible says the babe leaped in her womb for joy. Hallelujah! The Savior walked in the room, and John the Baptist wasn't even born yet, and he has joy. Well, I figure if he's not born yet and he's got joy, you are born yet. You are born, right? You ought to have joy. But see, it's just a matter of choosing. Just remembering the joy of your salvation. That's why David said, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation." Look at Luke chapter 10. You don't mind we look at a few scriptures? I'm going to keep you long, but I'm going to look at a few scriptures this morning, just kind of build a foundation for what we're going to go and talk about in the next services about this, about the joy of salvation. Look at Luke chapter 10, verse 17. This is Jesus' disciples. It said, "The 70 returned again with joy, saying, 'Lord, even the devils or the demons are subject unto us through your name.'" Well, it certainly is a joy to be able to beat the devil up. I get joy out of that. Hallelujah. I get joy every time somebody gets healed, somebody gets saved. Amen. Somebody gets delivered. Somebody says, "Pastor, this happened." I get joy out of that. Thank God for that. But I want you to notice what Jesus said. He said, "I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven." Boys, you really shot him down when you were out there. "Behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." Isn't that wonderful? I said, isn't that wonderful? "Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven." What's he saying? Well, thank God for the authority. Thank God for the power. I gave that to you. But the thing to rejoice about is the fact your names are written in heaven. The fact that you've been saved, praise God. Because all this other stuff, it's just an add-on. Amen. It's kind of like, you know, when you go to Dairy Queen. You know, a friend of mine, we'd go to Dairy Queen every now and then after a service. You know, we'd go there and we'd eat a meal, you know. We always like to eat healthy places, you know. And no offense to Dairy Queen. I'm sure they have healthy options, but we just didn't take them. But we'd go eat there, eat at Dairy Queen, you know. And every now and then, a foot-long hot dog just seemed to taste good. I don't know, with chili on it. I don't know exactly. There's times I'll tell Phyllis I got to quit eating like I'm 16, because I'm not. And I don't eat that way all the time, but I do have my backslidings for sure. Amen. Anyway, we would sit there and we'd look at one another, and we'd go through the same routine every time after service at his church. You want ice cream? Yeah, let's go get some ice cream. And they'd ask us, "You want whipped cream and nuts on it?" Oh, you better believe it. If it comes with it, we want the extras. Now, the main thing we're going for is the ice cream. But the whipped cream and nuts sure do make it taste good. Pardon my English, but it does, doesn't it? Well, see, the same thing's true. Jesus is saying, thank God, thank God, thank God. Amen. Thank God the devils are subject. He said, but don't rejoice over that. Rejoice that your names are written in heaven. That's what gives you authority over the devil to start with, see? So thank God you've been saved. Praise God. Yeah. You know, if nothing else, and it will, don't misunderstand me, but I'm just using this for preaching purposes. If nothing else goes right, you're saved.
That's right.
Amen. Amen. Now, so he let's go. it may take you 10 minutes to find this one. Habakkuk. Go find Habakkuk. It's in the Old Testament. I have to find it every time I go looking for it. You find If you can, just find Obadiah. And then go, keep going to the right. Obadiah, Jonah, Micah. Micah is kind of big, 7 chapters. Micah, go, Nahum, Habakkuk. Go there, Habakkuk. I just want you to know that we're supposed to rejoice in the Lord always. I said, rejoice in the Lord
always.
Paul said that. In Philippians, he said, rejoice in the Lord always. He didn't say try. He said do it. You're never going to have the blessings unless you just do what the Bible says, see? You want the blessings, I mean, you've got to do what the Bible says. Do you always feel like rejoicing, Pastor? No, I don't always feel like rejoicing, you know. But the Bible didn't say do it if you feel like it. You know, some modern translations are coming out, I've heard people talk about them, they have the word try in it. How many know the Bible doesn't tell you to try anything? It just says do it, right? God's not going to tell you to try anything. He knows whether you can do it or not, right? He said, rejoice in the Lord always. Not just one place. In Thessalonians, he said, rejoice always. Evermore, the King James says, or always. At all times. Just be rejoicing at all times. What's that mean? Well, when things are going well, if things aren't going well, I'm going to rejoice in the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now, I'm not going to thank God for everything because He didn't do everything, but I'm going to thank Him in everything.
Yeah.
Amen. Oh. Now, here in Habakkuk, look at this. In Habakkuk chapter 3, have you found it yet?
Yes.
All right, verse 17. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall there be fruit in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, the field shall yield no food, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there be no herds in the stalls. All right, it doesn't get a whole lot worse than this right now, you know. Yet I will rejoice.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. In the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation.
Yeah. Amen.
What's he say? Nothing's going right in the natural. My fig trees aren't working right. My vines aren't working right. My olives aren't working right. My fields aren't working right. My flocks aren't working right. The herds aren't working right. But yet I'm going to rejoice.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. I will joy in the God of my salvation.
Amen.
I'm going to shout because I'm saved. Hallelujah! And then look what he said. He said, the Lord, God is my strength. He'll make my feet like hinds feet or the deer's feet. He'll make me to walk upon my high places. If I do that, God's going to get involved. He's going to be my strength. I'm going to walk in some high places. Hallelujah! You know, sometimes God doesn't bring bad things in our life. How many know that? I said, God doesn't bring bad things in our life. But sometimes I do think He pays attention to how we handle them. He just looks and sees. How many know, you got to pass tests before you get promoted. Promotion doesn't come without passing tests. So sometimes we go through some, God will check some things out. Not that He causes the things, but He checks you out in the midst of it. How'd you handle it? Guess what? God's not like schools sometimes do today. He doesn't pass you just to get you out of His class. You know what I'm saying? You got to pass. With God, you got to pass. You got to pass the test before He promotes you. I don't know about you, but I like the promotion. What do you mean the promotion? Well, the blessing. Hallelujah. Now, let's go to one last scripture. Let's go back over here. I referred to this, but let's go finally to 1 Peter chapter 5. Come on, did you get anything today? We looked at a lot of scriptures, more scriptures than preaching, but that's all right. We need to see these scriptures that they're in the Word. Praise God. 1 Peter chapter 5, go there. 1 Peter chapter 5, we'll close right here. 1 Peter, the 5th chapter. Just talking about the joy of our salvation. How we need to have joy just because we're saved. Not because of any other thing. Thank God for all the extra. I like it, but it's extra. Amen.
Amen.
Got to remember, we're born again. We're saved.
Amen.
We've experienced God's salvation. We got something to shout about.
Yes.
Glory be to God.
Hallelujah.
Sometimes I read stories about things people have gone through, and I think, my gosh, and some things we think are trials. Compared to what they went through, I'm thinking, man, I better just shut my mouth about this. I really challenge people. If you haven't read it, get the book, The Hiding Place by Corrie ten Boom. And just read what her and her family went through and then still have the joy of the Lord. I'm thinking, my goodness, in a concentration camp, family killed off, yet she came out of there not bitter, but on fire for God. Went all over the world preaching the gospel. Hallelujah. God used her mightily. Amen. Used her in different ways. She even, I don't know that she claimed to be a prophetess, but she certainly prophesied about some things. Was flying over many, many years ago when Branson was just a nothing. Flying over it, she said, as she's flying over it, she said, God's going to use that place down there for the glory of God. Well, guess what? He did. I'm not saying everything in Branson sanctified, but there's some good things there. Amen. God's used it. You know, He's used it for His glory. Amen. All right, now, did you find 1 Peter? Verse number 5, I'm in 2 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5, the Bible says, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein you greatly rejoice. Notice this, they're greatly rejoicing in their salvation. Though now for, and here's what I was talking about, for a season or just a little while, or everybody say puny. Just a puny time. If need be, you're in heaviness, grieved because of manifold or many temptations or trials. So this church is going through a lot of trials, but Peter said they're greatly rejoicing. Notice this. This is real important. I'm going to clear this up a little bit. The King James says that the trial of your faith, but that word trial means the proving of your faith or the genuineness of your faith. In other words, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise, honor, and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. What is Peter talking about? Well, the fact that they were rejoicing in their salvation, even though they're going through some trials, proved their faith was the real deal. It was genuine. Now notice he says, verse 8, whom having not seen, that means Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love, in whom though now you see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Even though, now notice this, even though you don't see him, and even though you're going through trials, you're rejoicing with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Wow. Hallelujah. Verse 9, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. What's he saying? Well, Peter's simply saying, this. He's commending them. You're going through heavy trials right now. It's just a season. Something was going on. It's just a season. We've all had seasons of that. You're going through a season. Just a puny time, just a little time. He said, and there's a lot of various ways you're being attacked. He said, but you're greatly rejoicing in your salvation. And he said, it proves your faith genuine. You got the real deal. You got the real deal. And he said, you went on, verse 9, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Literally, just put it this way, you're receiving the outcome of your faith. In other words, you're already rejoicing and acting like it's already done. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, that's what God wants from us, is just to act like the Bible's true. Just to act like it's already done. And rejoice. Anybody can rejoice when they see the manifestation. But it takes rejoicing many times to see the manifestation. Hallelujah. Sometimes we got to remind ourselves of what's been done for us. You got to remind yourself, well, how good you really have it right now. You say, yeah, but Pastor, this is going on. Well, like I said, we're all facing stuff. Yeah. But we have our salvation. Yes. Hallelujah. We have our salvation. Amen. Thank God for it. Yes. We need to get back the joy of our salvation. Amen. You know that day you got saved, that day after you got saved, that joy you felt. Man, you need to get that back and be happy about your salvation. Well, I can't get that back. Oh, yeah, you can choose to have joy. That's right. You can choose to have joy.
Amen.
I mean, you know, joy is a choice. Yeah. Hallelujah. I'm going to be joyful.
Amen.
Yeah, but this is going on and that's going on. And, you know, look at our country and look at this and look at that. Well, so what?
That's right.
Had nothing to do with my salvation.
That's right.
I'm going to rejoice.
Yeah.
Glory be to God. I'm going to rejoice.
Yeah.
Well, you wouldn't be rejoicing if they came and got your house and your car and your truck and everything else, would you? Well, what else would there be to do?
That's right.
What's being down about it going to help?
That's right.
Not going to bring it back. Well, now you wouldn't rejoice, you know. I mean, if your dog and your cat died on the same day, would you? Well, might as well. Kind of like Brother Hagin's wife said to him. It was the wrong thing to say, by the way. What he answered back, she said, "I don't believe you'd worry if me and the kids all fell dead." He said, "Well, what'd be the use of worrying them?" She didn't like that very well. Anyway, well, you know, it's not a matter. It's not a matter that we don't notice these things. It's not a matter that, you know, we don't care about these things. It's just a matter that the Bible tells us to rejoice.
Yeah,
well, if we rejoice and obey God, just like Habakkuk said, God will be our strength. He'll make our feet like hinds' feet. He'll cause us to walk on the high places. Praise God. If we'll just rejoice right in the midst of stuff. Amen. Don't tell me it can't be done. I've done it for years. I've known people that have done it for years. I've seen people come to this church. They were going through some heavy trials, and you'd never known it. You wouldn't have known it. Because they were still worshiping God, rejoicing, and had a smile on their face. Praise God. I'm thinking, now that's true faith. Hallelujah. That's true faith. Amen. 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 Praise God. Sometimes, you know, we just got to be reminded of what we have. In our salvation, that we're saved.
Amen.
Hallelujah. If we did die today, if it did happen, all that would happen was, praise God, we'd get a better life. Hallelujah. Like I heard one guy say one time, he was flying on an airplane, and he said, you know, the thing, you know, you don't have this very often in the bigger planes like you do smaller ones. Now, smaller ones, you fly in smaller ones, sometimes there's a lot of turbulence. And I've been in smaller ones where, I mean, it feels like it's falling out of the sky. You know, it'll just drop on you. And you think, if you're not used to it, you're like, ooh. But once you get accustomed to it, it'll catch back up. It'll be all right. But yet, the bigger ones, every now and then, they'll just lose altitude like several thousand feet. Doesn't happen often, but maybe you've seen that before on the news where, you know, people got injured and, you know, food went everywhere and so forth, you know, because it just dropped several thousand feet, just phew, fell out. Well, that happened one time. This guy, he said, I was on the plane. He said, that thing just dropped. And he said, everybody's freaking out. He said, I stood up and said, thank God we're all going to heaven. He said, the guy next to him, he said, don't say that. Don't say that. Well, let me know if you're going to heaven. Let me know. It's not a big deal. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank God. Did you get something today?
Amen.
All right. Thank God. I hope you did. But if not, come back. We'll do it again. Hallelujah. Because I'm not done talking about the joy of our salvation. There's some things I want to talk about and get into. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Well, I just can't seem to shake it this off or shake that off. Yeah, you can if you listen now. You can. Just make yourself rejoice.
Amen.
Just make yourself worship the Lord.
Amen.
Well, that's just putting on. I know it's putting on the Lord Jesus Christ.
That's right.
Amen. He like one pastor said, he said, someone said to him, he said, you know, he said, I just like to be real. He said, yeah, real carnal. Because that's what you're being when you don't obey the Bible. The Bible said, rejoice always.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And again, I say rejoice. That doesn't mean we're weird and we walk around, you know, oh, hallelujah, glory to God. Oh, hallelujah, glory to God. You know, things that, but we got that inner joy inside of us all the time.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.